The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and let's go. We've got 4 hours to talk about a lot of stuff. And start it with this story. See, we've been talking a little bit, and we use the 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4, to describe how James Harden needs a shepherd. And James Harden needs to be led as a sheep to the promised land, to more grass. Well, apparently, one NBA exec says James Harden ain't playing for Jeff Van Gundy. That's what one NBA exec says. Now, I don't know if that's his opinion because he knows James Harden and he knows how James Harden is. This is his quote. James Harden ain't playing for Van Gundy. It's a players' league. Van Gundy is going to want to practice every day. That could be just an opinion.
It doesn't sound like
he's got any insight.
It's kind of my opinion, too, to be honest with you. You know, I was hopeful yesterday just trying to talk myself into, well, you know, he played hard for Mike Krzyzewski, and maybe Jeff Van Gundy has the juice to make James listen. And this is where we are now. I guess LeBron is a guy who's been known as he wants his own coach type of guy.
Magic was. That's where Michael was.
Well, Magic was like that. Year one. This is literally. Well, how many coaches does?
Of course, they did get rid of Doug Collins, and Michael really liked him.
How many players do you know of that are, well, you can't do this because James isn't going to be happy.
Yeah.
This is where you are right now.
LeBron wins titles. The Clippers are going to be walking on eggshells this offseason.
LeBron plays hard, wins titles, comes up in the clutch now.
But you said, what guys do you do that for? Right. See, and the Clippers are going to be walking on eggshells all offseason. Kawhi and Paul George.
Yeah, guys with championships.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not Paul George, but... Yeah, I don't think they're doing anything because of Paul George, frankly.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think
Kawhi gets to call his shot. LeBron gets to call his shot. And apparently, James gets to call his shot.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's done to earn it, but...
I'm sure. Yeah.
Like I said, if there's a culture shift, then I guess there's not really.
Well, that's
James
not...
James runs the team.
See, that's the exact opposite of a culture shift, then. If they want a culture shift, then what the culture shift should be is that the players aren't running... What was Bob's quote? The
ox in a ditch?
No, running the prison.
The inmates running asylum? The prison. No, inmates prison.
Prison. Well, this is different. This is you know, the players running the show. You can't. Yeah, I don't want to use Bobisms because then I won't have a statue. Then David Kyle won't build a statue of me out here.
No one's building a statue.
You don't know that. You don't know that there's not going to be a statue of me out here.
Yeah,
I know there won't be one of Bob McNair because of the inmate comment, yeah. And because he didn't like that the Republicans didn't win the presidency. I get
Knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power. So I have knowledge, and I'm not going to say something like that because I want a statue. So here's the deal is if you want a culture change, you know what Jeff Van Gundy would do? He would bring in a different culture. We're going to work harder. We're going to play more defense. We're going to put effort into it. We're going to play with heart. Although there were times that Jeff Van Gundy teams, I remember him in studio with us, like, yeah, we didn't have energy or, you know. And that just was, to me, was crazy.
Well, that's his opinion on stuff, yeah.
That's crazy.
He's also a head coach but you know, they also got the brakes beaten off them in the last game against the Mavericks,
yeah.
And they, you know.
I was there.
So it's like, it's not, you were in Dallas for that?
Yeah, I went to Dallas for that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah, that was awful.
What'd you go to Dallas for that?
We went up there to go watch the game.
Yeah. You jinxed it.
No,
they
40.
Won that.
They lost by 40. That is not a jinx. If they would have lost by, if they would have had a 17 point lead and lost it like the Celtics did last night, I mean, that's jinxing it. Mm-hmm. But the Rockets were never in that game.
I don't know if this is honestly. I don't know if.
Man, I got a huge fight with my wife. Oh my gosh, Oh, my gosh.
You did?
Yeah.
About the game?
Well, I just kind of took off and went to the game while she was home with the kids. That was a bad one. Yeah. I remember that one. I'm standing outside the arena. That was bad.
For a 40-point loss, you got you.
I know,
you
right?
That heat. Congratulations.
I should have stayed home. I should have stayed home and changed diapers. That was
dumb. We had to. I didn't have a good one either. I was at but different reasons. But I was at Texadelphia at the time watching a game there. I was like, well, I came here for this?
Yeah.
Because it was an ass kicking from the jump. But
for who? For what?
Exactly. But well, for the queso was the only reason. Like, well, I did get the queso.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get extra mustard blend, please? This is going to be a tough day. So the culture shift, we'll see if there is a culture shift or what was it? Was it culture shift? Was that the phrase used?
Culture change?
It's culture change, yeah. We'll see if there's a culture change. We'll see what that means. We'll see if this is just an executive who has the same opinion.
We all think this, though,
but
right?
Listen, that opinion would be the standard opinion.
Yes, we all think that.
He ain't going to play. James can't.
He ain't playing for
this is the standard opinion.
Yes.
And this is the default opinion. And probably the right one. Van Gundy is not going to be able to coach James. And James is not going to be able to play for Van Gundy. It doesn't seem like a good match.
No,
it doesn't seem like a good match.
No, no.
That's the concern. So maybe that's just talk. Ty Lue and Sam Cassell are the other guy. Maybe culture, maybe it means we're getting out of small ball. Maybe he's, I don't know. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Kelly Iko said that, and that's because he said he had knowledge of what Tillman Fertitta's, you know, thought process is, something to that regard. So we'll see what happens with the Rockets. Now, in the world of basketball, as John alluded to, the Celtics had a 17-point lead and blew it to the Heat. The Heat right now are 10-1 in the playoffs, and they're really taking no prisoners. I mean, there is not a game, and it's a very strange situation where Jimmy Butler is not putting up these big numbers, but when it comes time to make winning plays, like, that's what he's doing. And Vince Carter talked about it last night. He just kind of paces himself in the first and third quarters. But then when he needs to do things in the second quarter, you know, before the half and in the fourth quarter to win games, that's when he kind of takes over. And Duncan Robinson had 6 threes. The rest of the team didn't shoot well at all. But Duncan Robinson shot the ball well. And, you know, they got the W. And the Heat are now up 2-0, and they're looking like a team that is not fun to deal with at all.
No. No, this is a well. See, and I just hate to go, how would you like to have these guys on? This is, to me now, they shot 43 threes. They shot 43 threes. They only made 32%. Like you said, that's not like they were. Tyler Hero was finally not good. But Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero, and even, you know, Jimmy Butler and Jay Crowder and, you know, Dragic, he can nail them. Olenek, he can nail them. I mean, this is just a well-constructed team, I think. I mean, they can attack the basket. They're not overly big. They're athletic, and yet they can shoot. I mean, I just love the way this team is put together. This is a really good basketball team. Really, really good basketball team. And they're showing it.
Like,
and they're showing
a lot.
And
stars, they're
and look at when they get down, they were down 12 going into
the
fourth quarter.
Superstars?
They were down 17.
But
John, they come back.
Where's the superstars? Why is it
Jimmy Butler? They picked up Jimmy Butler.
That's what I'm saying. This doesn't, you know, Daryl's been after this. You must have two superstars. This is a two or three. No. You can do it this way. This is not the normal way. I know LeBron created the three superstar thing, and we had the big three with the Chicago Bulls.
Well,
it was really the big two
Boston
and a rebounder.
Boston created a three.
A rebounder. Well, the Bulls did, too.
Well.
When they had Rodman.
Yeah, yeah. But Horace wasn't. I mean, that wasn't
was
a superstar. It was him and Pippen.
But they called it big three for the first time with Chicago.
With Rodman.
But that was really, he was a rebounder. If you think about it, it's a big two with a focused, Chris Bosh too. Chris Bosh was a role
What's
player.
Wrong with you, Lance? Rebounding's not important. It's not important.
But my point is, it always has been about chemistry and finding the right pieces. You know, there's a lot of talk about the Clippers right now. The big talk is that chemistry is not good. That they have a chemistry. They're saying it inside their own locker room. They're saying our chemistry is not great. Well,
because
that's
Pat
a problem.
Bev is a because Beverly is a loudmouth, probably.
Probably, and I think Montrez can be a little bit of an issue sometimes. So, I don't know. But chemistry does matter. It matters a lot. Miami's chemistry is great.
Did you hear that there was a lot of yelling in the Boston locker room after the game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Miami's making people's chemistry break down.
Right.
Nothing tests your chemistry
like
quicker than
17-point leads. Yeah. So, yeah.
There's a lot of yelling in the Rockets locker room when they were losing to, supposedly.
But look at the scoring. Adebayo, he scored 21. Dragic, 25. Butler only scored 14 points. Robinson, 18. It's not like one guy's got to score 40, and then you get your crumbs here and there. Jimmy Butler, I mean, is a superstar. That was like, I'll take 11 shots. I'm good with 11 shots. And let Dragic shoot. Let Adebayo shoot. Let Robinson shoot. He's hot. 6 of 12 from 3. Holy crap. That is just awesome. As opposed to just give me the ball. This is how we win. No, that's a really good team. Really good team. I'm sick of saying that too. Because Dell
feels
just
good,
so,
doesn't it?
I just hate to see your happiness.
It feels good. Say it. Let the hate flow through you,
no,
John.
I just hate to see your happiness.
Look, we said it before. There was a reason. Now I don't know how the fit would have been, and maybe Jimmy Butler foresaw that he wasn't going to fit. That when they acquired Russ, the next move for them was to go get Jimmy Butler. Jimmy said, and people thought at one point because they had acquired Russ, that why wouldn't Jimmy want to come here? He's from the area. He wants to play. He would play with these two. We got a real shot to win. Jimmy was like, nah. I don't think what you guys are doing here is going to fit me. And he picked a place where he could be the guy, and which is what everyone said. You should have seen the slander coming from Philly. Like, even though they are the ones who decided they didn't want to pay him, people in Philly were like, Jimmy just going down there to retire. It's Miami. He can't be a leader of a winning team. And Jimmy said, okay, watch me. And he's a guy who's folded into the Heat, quote unquote, culture. And he's a perfect fit for what they want to do. He's an extension of Riley and Spoelstra on that floor. And they're a team that built it with mid-round draft picks. Bam Adebayo, I think 13th or 14th overall.
Yeah.
Hero
yeah.
in that same area too. And undrafted free agents. They've built it a different way than, as you mentioned, Lance. And this is a run that it wasn't expected this early. They're ahead of schedule. They're going to have free agent money this upcoming offseason. They're probably going to use that to resign Dragic because he's a free agent. They're probably going to give him a big balloon deal. And he might be on one-year deals for his time with the Heat because he's probably a Heat lifer at this point. And then they'll try to find an all-star in 2021. I don't think they foresaw this, but it's really good so far.
I just really get frustrated when people get so locked in. I think Daryl's locked in on just the mode of one single way that, you know, he believes history has told him it's just one single way. This is the only way to win a championship. Now, maybe it's the only way to win a championship with James or whatever the case may be, or maybe his idea about multiple stars. He said it before. You know, he's alluded to, we've got two MVPs on the same team. That, you know, so what? It's not a great fit. And I just truly believe that you have to make sure that you have locker room and on-court chemistry. I think that has to be the number one thing behind, obviously, making sure that you secure a superstar, because you do need a superstar. I would say that. And I don't know, Jimmy Butler's a star. He's probably not a superstar, but he's definitely a star, but it's still working. That it just goes to show you the whole star bleeper thing that I think Daryl has going on, this ideology, this philosophy that this is the only way it can be done. It really needs to be looked at, because I don't think it's viable right now with James. And look, I'm not even sure it's viable with James as the lead dog anyway. I think it's always going to be good, but not good enough.
Yeah.
So maybe it doesn't really matter how you shuffle the deck as long as you've got that Joker
matter,
in
though,
the
how the roster is constructed. It really does matter.
Yeah, but they had it 2 year. They had it in 17 or 18. 17,
and then
18,
it's over.
Then it's over. Like, they had it for 1 year, yeah, a special little combination, and then it was gone.
Then
quickly.
It's gone. Then it's over. That was fun.
That's
that one year. That 1 year. We keep going back to the 65 win team, and then it's over. It was fun though. That was really, really good. You know what else is really good? The 2020 Ford Expeditions starting at $20,000 off. How about the Ford F-150s four-door starting at $28,999? That is unbelievably low. $10,000 off all 2020 F-150 XLT crew cabs. That's all happening at Chastang Ford. So this is just, I mean, and here's the deal. You go online, you can shop at home, you can customize your payments, you can value your trade, you can get pre-approved, you can schedule a test drive. They will deliver your car to your home, and then you can actually buy it online. And they won't have any dealer add-ons like paint seal or fabric seal or window etching or nitrogen in the tires. You're charging me for nitrogen in the tires? No, that's not the way you want to start a relationship with a dealership, and that's not the way they do it. Chastang Ford is thought to be one of the top service-related dealerships in the country. And that's not what I think of them. That's what they are rated. And if you're looking for that kind of company that you can trust, that you will love, that would give you the best experience, that gives you the best service, it's Chastang Ford. ChastangFord.com or get on 610 Homestead, not Hempstead, just two exits from 59, 5 minutes from downtown. That's Chastang Ford.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Another reason to hate A-Rod. So here we go. We got sent this story.
The J-Lo picture?
Not that one. Oh. Not that one. So we got sent
Jason.
This story by Jason?
Yep.
Yeah. Jason Zuniga. Jason sent us a nice little story about out of Arizona. Arizona Sports 98.7 FM. Apparently, they were Ron Rivera was being interviewed, the Washington football team coach. And he was asked about, hey,
well,
man.
They're looking for wide receivers.
Yeah.
They don't have any. They're like, man, they can't find wide receivers.
Yeah. With the exception of surprise, Terry McLaurin, you know, first-year head coach Ron Rivera's team is searching for target upgrades to help second-year quarterback Dwayne Haskins Jr. Of course he is. I mean, Logan Thomas had 8 targets last week.
Yeah. Former quarterback at Virginia Tech who came from Arizona's roster.
Yeah. So he's like, yeah, we need some receivers. It would have been nice if Washington had known in March that one of the best receivers in the game, DeAndre Hopkins, was on the trading block for the Houston Texans. No, we had no sense he was on the market, said Rivera. Yeah, just like everybody else, we were all surprised. Here's a talented player playing for a team he had played very well for, and they traded him. It was a decision that was made on another team. But I thought he shopped him around the league. That's what... You were at lunch.
So what he said, no one would take. That was the very best they could get. And they checked with everyone who had a rookie quarterback. And they obviously said this to Chris Collinsworth, too, when they're in their production meeting, that the only way he could be traded, and he said this publicly, you can only trade him to a team with a quarterback on a rookie deal because of how much money he was going to require.
Okay.
Well, Washington had a rookie deal.
Yeah. Like Deshaun, like he was on a rookie deal. But
yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, but I mean, but Deshaun was going to get paid. That was the whole point.
Well, yeah, but
Deshaun was getting paid this year.
Yeah.
No, but not this year. His point was teams could only pick him up because quarterbacks with big deals wouldn't be able to pay him what he was going to get.
Right, but you can pay left tackles $22 million.
Yeah.
But with quarterbacks that are going to come up on deals. And you can pay $54 million for a defensive a linebacker that doesn't do anything.
Well,
and you can pay $20 million to your defensive end. But you can't possibly pay D-Hop.
Well,
it's impossible to pay the best receiver in the game.
You can't pay all those guys.
No.
You truly can't.
No,
you got to make decisions.
And you know whose contract you're going to be out of and soon is JJ's.
You got to decide who you're going to put. But regardless, they also didn't want him, so it doesn't matter.
No, right.
So they traded him like they didn't want him.
Yeah,
but finding a trade partner, that makes sense. You got to find a team that has a quarterback on a rookie deal because they can afford to pay him more.
There was only one, Arizona.
Yeah, I feel like there was also Buffalo who ended up getting Stephon Diggs. There was Washington who had Dwayne Haskins, who had a big-time wide receiver
need. There's
the Jets. Wide receiver need, the Jets. So... Bill O'Brien, I just don't believe him.
No.
I just don't think he tells the truth that often.
No, he doesn't tell the truth. No.
To say, I don't think he shopped around, clearly. To say that that was the best he could get. And by the way, we're also reminded he gave up a fourth, too. Not only, he kicked in a fourth rounder. So not only, yeah, he got David Johnson in a second, but he also kicked in a fourth rounder. That can't be the best deal. It just can't. Unless DeAndre Hopkins somehow, and DeAndre can't force your hands. You can trade him wherever you want to. You could trade him wherever you want to. You could have dealt him to Washington, and he would have been
miserable. But oh well.
I mean, I don't know if a deal could have got done, but for Ron Rivera to say we didn't even know.
Yeah, no.
I mean, come on. That means you're not telling the truth about that. You shopped around. That's the best deal you could get.
No.
If teams didn't even know he was on the market, that's not the best deal you could get. You can't say that at least. Like, it just irritates me.
Okay, this is something we didn't know, though. I mean,
but Rick did the same thing. Where Rick was not connected around the league. I talked to teams who said this is, you know, where Rick had deals that people said, or there was people available, and the Texans weren't. They didn't know there were players available in the past. There were moves just like the Texans have got to do a better job of shopping around the league for players. Or giving up play. Like, they have to do a better job as an organization across the board 17 years.
Or coming up with a number for, you know, what they're going to spend on a player.
Yeah.
You know, just go, give him $22 million. Give it to him. He wants $22, give it to him.
Sure.
Just give it to him, Jack.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I'm tired of just giving guys what they want, but that's just not a good enough.
Can you stop yelling at me?
That's just not good enough.
Why are you wearing your mask?
Because there's some in there.
I was having a conversation with the intern, so I didn't want to spread a potential.
Well, so you got it around your chin. You're wearing a chin strap, not a mask.
I wasn't looking directly at him. So I was going this way. If I'm looking at him, I would put the mask over my mouth.
Oh.
See, science, John.
No, it's not science.
It is science.
It's you're wearing a chin strap.
No, it's called science.
Listen, there are so many people that I'm like, it's so funny. I went to somewhere yesterday. Yeah, you got to wear your mask. And it's underneath their nose and just barely touching their mouth. I'm like, why are you wearing that? Don't wear it. What's wrong with you? That's not how you wear a mask. That doesn't help anybody. You're not doing anything. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. So the Astros won. You saw that, right? And, Teddy ball game. Kyle ball game. How's that? Is that any good? And Fromber looked pretty damn good again.
Yeah, Fromber, it was nice after two suspect outings for him to come back again. McCullers back-to-back. You had good pitching outings by both those guys. It's nice. I'm just kind of in a waiting mode. I mean, you know, I don't take it seriously right now. We're already in let's just wait for the playoffs mode in a 60-game season. Like, I can't imagine if this were 162. But you do have the offense is not clicking, but you did have Kyle Tucker hit another bomb, which is good. And Fromber had a good performance, which is good. Now I'm just waiting to see what the health looks like headed into playoffs. The storylines for me now is who's going to be the starters. And you know what? I'm interested. Let's say Verlander doesn't make it back. Who are your top three?
Well,
it's Greinke, obviously, one.
Greinke's one, or Katie McCullers. Fromber out of the pen, I guess, or I don't know.
Or
it depends on how these last few starts.
Still
now,
has to, yeah,
the way McCullers started. But here's the deal is McCullers was at home.
But Urquidy still has to prove himself.
I mean, McCullers home and road
it's been different.
No,
it's a lot different.
It's night and day.
But even with no fans, it doesn't matter. It's just the location. But they really do need to. But Urquidy, we still have to see him pitch. Like, he still needs to show that he can be solid to lock in with his spot as well. So I think that's interesting. At some point, I'd love the bats to heat up and stay hot, but that just hasn't happened. So it's kind of frustrating right now that I've just assumed this whole time that watch what happens when everyone starts clicking. And it just hasn't happened up to this point. I guess it could still happen theoretically, but I'm just really surprised that we haven't seen George or Altuve. Correa has just kind of other than a fast start, it's just been very average for him. I'm just waiting to see when it gets really hot.
Yep. It's 728 ESPN 97.5 7378 0377 76. Ken, we're going to get you on the other side to talk about your Texans, but first, Lance wants to talk about your testosterone. Ken,
Men's Steed Clinic. I'm not talking about you necessarily, Ken. I can't speak for you necessarily, but if you are suffering from energy level that continues to drop, if you are suffering from issues with lean muscle mass problems, where your lean muscle mass doesn't feel and look the same as it once did, you might have a drop in testosterone. A drop in testosterone can really have an impact on your overall well-being, the way that you feel, the way that you look. It's big for your quality of life. And Men's T Clinic wants to help you out. They've got 5 locations in Houston. When you stop in, it's a very quick process to get in, get tested. And if you're tested, you're going to get results within minutes. And you may find that low in testosterone. Well, they can start the process of fine-tuning your testosterone levels to get you exactly where you need to be. And once you are there, you're going to find that your body responds. You're going to find that your mind responds. You're going to find that your overall health improves, your well-being improves. And that's how you live your best life. You live it with a testosterone level that gets you to where you were in your 20s and your 30s. You don't have to just give in to being quote-unquote old or feeling old. MensTClinic.com. 5 locations in Houston. MensTClinic.com.
ESPN. 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 7:31 ESPN 97.5. Ken's been waiting. I don't know what his testosterone level is, but I do know that he wants to talk about the Houston Texans. So let's get him in here. Hey, Ken.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man.
I do feel like my testosterone level is okay.
Okay.
I would say my wife probably would think it's a little too high, but maybe I'll drop by Men's T just to double check.
Well, they can dial it down, I think, if you need to pull some out.
All that matters is what your wife thinks of it. That's all.
As long as she's happy.
That's it.
Complaining. I'm good with that.
Right.
But what I called about was jumping back to the Ron Rivera story. I think y'all kind of hit on one of the key topics, but the other one that skipped over was the fact that O'Brien had it in his head that a certain team of a certain look with a young quarterback and whatever money is the only option. And he put himself in a corner as to how many teams he was going to call because he had in his mind that only this type of team would take it on. That's asinine. I mean, you've got probably the biggest trade piece of the offseason in your hands, and you only go to however many teams you think might want to take it on. No, you call every single team when you have a key piece like that. I get it if this was a third-round guy who's a veteran, you're trying to trade for another third-round guy. Yeah, you pick up the phone, you call a few teams, you see what you can get, okay, and move on. But when you have the biggest trade piece of the offseason, it's more important than that. Hmm. And he completely missed that.
Well, it's not only that, Ken. He put the limitation on it being a young quarterback. You have to have a young quarterback, and he didn't even call them. He didn't even call the Redskins. They didn't even call the Redskins, and I'm sure that there was others. There were the Jets or whomever.
That's
even the Dolphins would have been good because they got a young quarterback and they got a journeyman.
The Jets needed one so bad.
Yes,
they need one so bad. I mean, they ended up getting Denzel Mims.
I mean, I bet he didn't call anybody else. I mean, if you ask the Jets, hey, did the Texans ever call you?
Well, listen, the Jets really needed a tackle, so they weren't going to give up their first-round pick. They had to have a tackle. But they had a second-round pick. they if you're looking for second round picks, the whole point is, did you really call all these teams? That's do your job.
No,
do they your didn't. Job as general manager. This is
you
why,
might be surprised. Holy crap! Look what Washington.
And how many
give up.
Connections does he have around the league with other GMs? Where he just picks hey, what's up, man? How you doing? He doesn't have that. He's a coach.
Yeah.
That's the point. You need to know personnel directors around the league. You need to know head coaches. I mean, you need to know personnel directors and GMs around the league. Other area scouts who maybe you used to be on the road with that you have a relationship with. This is – it's so I can't stress enough how important it is to have relationships around the league so that you can pick something up on at any point and call or to have an idea of other people's rosters, because this is what you do.
And don't, don't you build that at the GM meetings?
Yes.
Which Bill O'Brien has never been a part
of? You build it everywhere. You build it everywhere as a GM because it's a separate job from head coach. This is the point. You know what else GMs do? The GMs will get with their pro department and talk about different rosters around the league. All the rosters. They talk about it's an entirely different job. This is not something that you can just take on a second job. It's a full-time job. So when a head coach tries to take on GM job, it's impossible. He's not being a full-time GM. Jack Easterby has to. Well, Jack doesn't have connections around the league. He didn't have connections with all these guys. Matt Bazergan, I think that's I can't remember how to pronounce his last name, but he's a guy that would have more connections than any of those guys. One of the guy in their personnel department, he would have him because that's what he is. That's who he is. He had that position with the Jets. You know, and maybe they called the Jets because Matt could have called the Jets because he's had that position. So maybe he could have called the Jets, although Joe Douglas is there now. It's a different group, but Matt knows everybody around the league. That's what I'm saying. You can't just be a G. Well, I'm also a GM.
I completely agree with y'all.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
One last thing, and I'll I'll say one last thing, and I'll hang up because I hear it. I hear the frustration. I'm the same way. I've watched it, and I've gotten to the point where I'm not a Texans fan anymore, and I won't be until they change something. And I'm urging everybody else who is a Texans fan or has been a Texans fan, just stop. Stop giving them the money. That's the only way that they're going to feel it. That's their only way that they might have to make a decision, because otherwise we can just sit back, complain, and watch this train wreck. That's all I got, and I'll leave it with y'all.
I mean, that's good stuff, Ken. It's just not a job that you can – it's not a job that you can glide through. And if Jack Easterby were somebody like – you know, Rex Hogan with the Jets, who has been in a personnel position, who's been in a scouting and personnel position for years and years and knows everybody in the league. That'd be one thing. These guys are really outsiders at this. Jack's an outsider. He's not an insider. He didn't come up through the scouting ranks. He was a pastor or a deacon or a preacher, whatever he was. That's what he was. He was a pastor with the Chiefs. And then he became a quote-unquote character coach for a team that is a very guarded, you know, kind of Patriot way team. This is who they are. And then from there, he went to the Texans. So it's not like they're not built for good deals. They're not built for smart deals.
No.
They don't have experience from a cap standpoint. They don't have experience from a trade standpoint. They don't have experience from a personnel standpoint. They don't. And that's why it's just so frustrating to see. And there's just a lot of arrogance over there right now. And I don't think they were honest about reaching out and, you know, and getting the best deal they could possibly get. It never made sense that this was the best deal you could get for DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, that never made sense when you saw what the market was able to bear. And I get you say, and, you know, the Texans' argument is, well, he had to get new money. So you're not, you know, there's a sliding scale. If you have to pay new money, then you don't get as much back. That's actually true. That's usually true. But the problem is But you ruined your own argument when you gave two firsts and a second in a deal for Tunsil, who was getting new money. So your own argument, you invalidated your own argument. You're a hypocrite. You didn't even use that same mindset to use that as leverage in your Tunsil
deal.
And
nobody called him out on it. Nobody called him out on it. I mean, that's a problem because he just lies to us and nobody calls him out on it. So it's that, and it's not changing anytime soon, and it's not going to change this week. The Ravens, big favorites, 7.5 at Houston with -115 as
gone
well.
Gone up to 7.5.
Yeah, it's 7.5 -115. Yeah. On top of it's not 110. Usually it's -110, And instead now it's minus 115, which means that they're trying to please take the Texans. Please take the Texans. Vegas is doing everything. That half a point on top of seven is huge. Huge. I mean, that's not a football number. So they're begging everybody in Vegas. Everybody in Vegas is begging everybody to take the Texans. They ain't doing it. Jim wants to talk about some prop bets. What do you say, Jim? Jim.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Jim.
How's everybody doing over there?
Good, man. How you doing?
We're doing good. I just want to comment on, I guess it was Ken. Is that right? Ken, the last caller?
Yeah.
That guy is the smartest caller I've ever heard. And I just wanted to pass on some props to him. Okay. That was totally awesome. Couldn't agree with him more. And I'll tell you, I agree with him. Don't spend your money on this team. Don't buy a shirt, jersey, hat, whatever. Just let them die on the vine until they really make some true changes. And that's all I have. Good morning.
All right.
Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Good morning, Jim. Good to talk to Jim.
We got Kenny Smith. We got Clyde the Glide. He's the one that sang that song.
I like Jim.
I like Jim.
I love Jim.
I thought Ken had a good call.
But here's the thing is, and this has been said for over and over and over, until you stop spending your money with them, they won't wake up. Because it's sellout after sellout after sellout, and they're just, everything's fine. Because you still love to go out there and tailgate. You still love to go to the games. You're still buying all the J.J. Watt jerseys. You're still spending money on the $20 beers at the stadium. You're still, let's go Texans. And they suck and they suck and they suck and they suck and they suck. And it's the same thing. Well, I take that back. They don't suck. But they're not just not good enough. And until you get that to ownership, that it's just not good enough.
It really is. I've never been a big fan of that whole concept, but I mean, it really is the truth, though.
It is.
The only thing that the Texans will acknowledge is if people are just checked out on them. And I think a lot of people are kind of mentally, they're kind of mentally checked out, but you still want to watch the games. Well, I'm not saying I don't care, but I like watching the Texans. I want them to win. It's just very frustrating.
Well, it's our job to watch them. So,
and yeah, I mean, look, I don't think they're not on they're not in the top half of the league to be fun to watch. If you want to look at teams around the league, I don't think they're going to be
one of the most exciting quarterbacks.
That's what's
and they're
crazy.
Still not fun to
watch.
That's
what's crazy is it's. And it's, you know, it gets back to the power structure, I think. Mm-hmm. I think that hurts, and I don't think Cal McNair does any favors. I don't feel confident with Cal McNair as the owner. Bob McNair, we knew what Bob was, which was a super loyal. He was very loyal. He was very patient, which isn't always a bad thing, but he was going to wait. And I just have never had faith that ownership is top-notch. I don't have faith that the personnel department is top notch because I like some of the guys who work in there. I'm just saying the trigger puller, and that's Easterby and then Bill O'Brien. And then as a coach, I think Bill O'Brien has some, you know, I think he obviously has some issues to deal with as a coach. There's no way around it. Just looking at the way they get their asses kicked against the better teams, but we'll see. I mean, this is going to be one of those games where it's kind of a. I don't know. If you're able to beat the Ravens, Bill O'Brien's going to be able to strut around a little bit. That's the way it is, and he'll deserve to.
Oh, absolutely.
If they get their butts kicked at home to the Ravens, and they get embarrassed, then it's going to, you know, a little bit more pressure mounts, a little bit more pressure.
Which is more likely?
I think the butt kicking is more likely.
More likely, but we'll see.
But they do show up. But they show up in games I don't expect them to at times. So I can't. Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I don't think it's possible that the Texans show up and have a much better game. I think that's definitely possible, but I don't think it's likely.
Yeah.
I see by your look on your face, you don't think it's likely either.
Yeah, I don't think it's very likely at all. I mean, this is the best running team in football, and you suck at stopping the run. And you proved that last week again after you proved it all of last year. And that was with DJ Reader. Did you see DJ Reader making plays last night?
I saw him making a couple, but I can't. I'm not going to point to DJ Reader since they got gashed on the ground for 200 yards. I mean, Kareem
but
Hunt.
But I still saw him making plays. He and Christian Covington both.
The Browns screwed everybody by scoring too fast.
I know.
They scored too fast because they were gashing the Bengals, just gashing them.
Joe Burrow can cover. That's one thing about him. He covered last night.
He's 2-0 against the number.
Yeah, how about that? Hey, listen, let's talk about your roof right now. And this is an important time. I saw a roof yesterday. As a matter of fact, I was like, these guys need Caliber Roofing. They need Caliber Roofing and exteriors. And it's not just roofing, okay? Now, you can come and you'll get your free inspection, and they're going to give you an honest evaluation of what's going on with your roof. But you can look up and are there shingles missing? Do you have any leaks? Have you had any leaks? And if you have, man, you got to get this thing fixed because we got more hurricanes in the Gulf. Thank God. Look at more hurricanes. Thank goodness. Tropical depressions are all forming all over the place. And if you need gutters or painting or siding or decking or power washing, Caliber Roofing does that too. They do it all. It's Caliber Roofing and Exterior, so they do it. And they've got, listen, this family owned and operated. They use the top quality Owens Corning roofing shingles. You can get financing. It's available. Get affordable monthly payments. Call 713-823-9355. Get this done before a storm comes and you lose your house because your roof isn't ready for it. 713-823-9355 or 975roof.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to get in here. You're more than welcome to do that. Wow, I didn't know this. I didn't even realize this. Numbers you need to know. Ravens Wire has numbers you need to know. It's USA Today Sports. 9-2. What do you think 9-2 is?
The Ravens record against the Texans?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I don't remember the two, if I'm being honest.
The two wins?
Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't it? We're pulling in the right direction? Remember what that was? One Baltimore game. It was a Sunday night game. And Bob McNair said afterwards. Remember they won in overtime, but Bob, it's okay. You're pulling in. You're going in the right direction. You're doing.
The Ravens won.
The Ravens won.
Yeah, it's when Matt Schaub had a pick six.
Yes, and Flacco. Yeah. There was an overtime game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was an overtime game. I've got a video of Alec watching. I taped it for him to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as he sees that, he throws his football down. Like, that's how long ago it was. Yeah, that wasn't that one. That wasn't the win. What other good numbers do you have for us? You have some other good numbers?
166. That's the number of rushing yards Houston let up in week one against the Kansas City Chiefs. Considering they gave up 256 rushing yards to Baltimore last season, the Texans have gotten much better in that area. What?
Is that what? What a backhanded compliment.
That what? 7. That is the number of sacks the Ravens got the last time they played the Texans. They took down Deshaun 6 times and A.J. McCarron once for 10 yards. 2-14. These are the number of catches Brandon Cooks and DeAndre Hopkins made in week one. This is ugly, Ravens Wire.
This is intentionally just trolling the Texans.
What the bleep? 2-14. Brandon Cooks catches and DeAndre Hopkins catches. That's ugly.
Yeah, now do Randall Cobb. I noticed that you avoided the more successful of the two wide receivers. He just have one.
29, the number of regular season games Watson has played in which he's been sacked more than once. This is all ugliness. 1,156, the number of passes thrown on first down in the Bill O'Brien era for Houston. Only five teams have attempted fewer first down tosses.
By the way, did you see we're getting hit by a tropical storm again?
Yeah, I know. That's what I just said on my roofing spot. 1,156, the number of passes thrown on first down in the Bill O'Brien era from 2014 to 2020. Only five teams have attempted fewer first down tosses. That's an indictment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially when you got Deshaun Watson, that you are so run heavy on first down. It 15 is the number of rushing touchdowns by Watson since 2017. He's one of only three quarterbacks with that many in that span.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yep. 83.3, the completion percentage of Deshaun Watson on play action passes.
Huh.
It's seventh highest among all quarterbacks after week one this season. Four, number of drops by Texans receivers in week one. That's ugly.
Was there four?
Were there four?
I mean, I remember Fuller.
Stills had two.
Yeah.
Fuller had one. Fuller had the big one.
The very, very first one.
Yeah, and who's the other one?
I don't know.
I don't know that. 18.1. That's the percentage Houston was able to get pressure on a quarterback, either as a hurry, knockdown, and sack last season. It was the second lowest total in the NFL. In just one game this season, the Texans have a 12.1%.
You know what I figured out?
Pressure
it's
rate.
It's actually you. It's actually not the Texans. It's you. You were the one bringing. I'm just thinking, it used to be fun to talk about the Texans, and you're making it not fun to talk about the Texans.
Oh, you led that email from that guy.
No.
Oh, there was an email that you and I got, AJ. AJ was saying it on the air. You and I and David Gow and AJ got an email. I never saw it. But the guy said, AJ is so anti-Houston teams and is rubbing off on us.
Well, he is anti-Houston teams.
Well, I don't think that. I think he said, I'm just being honest. And just because we're negative, well, guess what? Our teams suck right now. And you know what?
I can't.
I disagree. They don't suck. Fred made the point. See, that's your problem, is you say they suck and they don't suck.
They don't.
They make the playoffs. They all make the playoffs. And yet, well, they only go so far. Well, yes, but they make the playoffs, so they don't suck. And that's the truth. But they don't exceed expectations.
I don't have the same hope that I had with the Oilers. I don't have the same hope that I had with the Texans previously. The problem is I don't have hope right now for them. I've had hope for the Rockets. I've had hope for the Astros. The Texans have robbed us of hope. And I did have some in 17 and 18. I did have hope with the Texans. Like, I saw a core. I'm like, wow, this is pretty good. Zach Cunningham, Bernardrick McKinney, Jadeveon Clowney, DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt. I mean,
there's some stuff here
if they just make some smart draft picks. And then you gave away two draft picks for a left tackle. Okay, you got good left tackle, but
two for a quarterback.
Then you had to give one up for Deshaun, but that was, so then one of your picks you didn't make. And then Clowney is gone, not replaced. JJ has been hurt. DeAndre Hopkins is gone, not replaced. I mean, I just feel like my hope has been sapped, and maybe we are being negative. I don't know. Maybe I'm not. No, this is not what it is.
You
have no hope. Oh my gosh.
I'm feeling so small.
It's not 100% inaccurate.
I honestly don't know. Something. Maybe we are being negative. I mean, everything that we say about them is negative.
All right. Are we? All right, 713-780-3776. We'll let you guys be the... Are we being realists, or are we being too negative? Or are we being too positive? 713-780-3776.
The optimist would say the Texans start slow and still make the playoffs. So I know the Ravens game looks like a disaster coming, but who cares?
I think John is making me negative because AJ is rubbed off on John because they do sports map videos together on Thursday. And I think John is making me negative. I am maybe not seeing what a championship team looks like, and maybe this is
I didn't say all that.
Maybe I'm being honest. I am being too negative.
The pattern says they'll get run by the Ravens on Sunday, but this is still a playoff team.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like for things not to feel so predictable. Of course, they were with Gary, too. So.
713-780-3776. Maybe you have the opinion that we are too negative. I don't know.
I think you guys are.
No, Mr. Negative is going to say that.
I'm not negative. I'm positive they're going to get their ass kicked on Sunday.
That is terrible. I got more numbers for you if you want to
nice.
Hear them. Yeah.
More numbers.
Okay, Dr. Doom.
115, the number of missed tackles the Texans had on defense last season, tied for 11th most in the league. 8, the number of receptions in week 1 by Will Fuller. It's only the third time in his regular season career he's had 8-plus catches, and the first time he scored a touchdown when doing so.
That's good.
That's good. 5 is the number of field goals Texans kicker Kyme Fairbairn has missed.
See, everything is...
That's the last one. That's the last number. I'm done with
1 that. Number of playoff games won by Deshaun Watson last year.
Yeah, 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than Lamar Jackson.
Well, he won 1 quarter
because
he got his ass kicked.
What
for
about
the first
0? Week. The number of playoff games Lamar Jackson has ever won.
Get Ocho Texto. Yeah. Get Ocho Texto in. Let me hear if we're being too. Ocho, are we being too? I know you follow it closely. Are we being too negative about the Texans?
No, I don't. I think you're being fair. Think you're being fair. Let me throw this throw this at you and see where you stand with this. I'm a Kyler Murray guy. All right. And last year they also played Baltimore. They lost 23-17. And Kyler was 29 of 40, 349 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. He got them inside the 10-yard line on 3 occasions. They had to settle for field goals. And this was done behind statistically the worst, one of the worst, if not the worst, offensive line in the NFL last year, and no D-hop. So relative to Deshaun Watson, I guess my question is, how much of it is Deshaun's problem? How much of it is play calling, and how much of it is on Deshaun Watson?
Well,
and that's all I have.
All right, Ocho.
Oh, by the way, Kyler Murray is the greatest quarterback of all time.
Whoa, man.
Wow.
That's an early proclamation to make.
Wow.
Kyler.
Wow.
The greatest of all time.
Of all time.
Yeah. All right. Well, Tom
I
Brady
that was
and
Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought so, too. Hey, listen, ask the coaching staff. This week they said, man, Deshaun played one of his best games ever last week. They thought Deshaun was awesome. So that'll tell you, well, it wasn't on Deshaun. The offensive line sucked. The offensive line.
They did.
Sucked.
They did. The right side was an atrocity.
There were no open receivers for the most part. Deshaun did all he possibly could. Tim Kelly was he spoke in superlatives about Deshaun. And guess what? They got their ass handed to him. And then they finally put it together, but it was 31-7. So it's not Deshaun. And oh, by the way, well, 757 is just more negative because, you know what, as long as Bill O'Brien's around, I think we can always say, AJ and I talked about this yesterday, as long as Bill O'Brien is around, we've always got that buffer for Deshaun to say, well, if he had a real coach.
All right, Mito and Brandon, we'll get to you in a second. We're trying to figure out if we're being too negative on the Texans, like apparently an email said that I didn't see.
I didn't see it either.
But, you know, I could see where people think that. If you think that or if you don't think that, 713-780-3776. I want you to go to LandZCars.com if you're in the market for a new truck, SUV, crossover vehicle, any number of vehicles. I'm going to talk today about my friends over at Buick. And from a Buick standpoint, these are the programs they have available. It's well-known fact. I'm a numbers guy. You guys know that for a fact. How about these numbers? $6,000 rebate when you purchase a new 2020 Buick Enclave from Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC in Angleton. The Enclave is beautiful. It's a crossover vehicle that's a luxury vehicle. It seats up to 7, so you have plenty of space, offers advanced safety features. It's got a 310 horsepower, 3.6-liter V6 engine. You can check out the Buick Enclave today by going to LanceZCars.com. They're in Angleton. They will deliver the car to Houston if you need be. You can start your car buying experience online. You can do the entire thing there, or you can just go check out the Enclaves they have in stock. Don't forget, $6,000 rebate when you purchase a new 2020 Buick Enclave from Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. Go to LandZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.